Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Let's Talk TriDelta. Thank you for joining us. I'm Karen White, TriDelta's CEO and editor-in-chief of the award-winning Trident magazine. The events of the last few months have caused us as an organization to listen and learn about the systemic racism in our society and within our own organization. We've had profound conversations and created action on ways TriDelta must work to dismantle racism and create education, tools, resources, and activity to combat it in all of its forms. Today's podcast is going to continue our Lead Now conversations about racism. At our recent TriDelta convention, delegates took important steps to begin our work to ensure an inclusive and equitable membership experience for all of TriDelta's members, especially our Black, Indigenous, sisters of color. At Lead Online, we had the opportunity to hear a powerful conversation between Fraternity President Kimberly DeFady Sullivan and Dr. Diane Peterson, TriDelta's first Black member. Following that emotional discussion, we got the chance to hear from two incredible young sisters of color as they reflected on Diane's story and her legacy. Our very own Dr. Marianne Collet facilitated this discussion with incoming chapter development consultant Sabor Waldu and former CDC Lexi Legs. We're so proud of these women and know the future of our sisterhood is in really good hands. Let's listen to their conversation.
Hello, my name is Dr. Marianne Collet, and I serve TriDelta as the Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives. I have the privilege today to be here with two amazing TriDeltas who we're going to have a conversation. Hopefully you all have watched Dr. Peterson and Kimberly Sullivan, the fraternity president's conversation about Dr. Peterson's time and her journey as a TriDelta, specifically around her becoming a member of the fraternity and the barriers that were created and that were overcome during that time. And kind of also to talk about where we are today and where we are moving forward. So I am here with Sabor Waldu, one of my favorite people in the world, who is a graduate of University of Texas, Dallas, also is a current CDC part member of our new staff. So welcome. And also Lexi Legs, who served as a CDC for 2018-2019, is a graduate of Millikan University. Mm-hmm. Is one of our true shining stars in our stars. You saw how I did that with TriDelta's stars and the Crescent Moon. Very much so has taught us a great deal about where we need to be as TriDelta, specifically around the topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the discussion around anti-racism. And so today, we're going to have an opportunity to just hear from these two amazing women. So if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about who you are and where you are today, and maybe a little bit about your TriDelta journey.
Do you want to go first or?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm a graduate of Millikan University, graduated in 2018, where I received my bachelor's of music in music education. I'm currently teaching at Alton High School. I teach grade 9 through 12, general music and majority choir. So this is my first year teaching. It has been weird, but we're over it. So that's good. During my time as a collegian, I served as a new member educator. That was my first officer position, and I love that. And then I was actually slated as our chapter's first Black president back in 2017. So also another large feat. After that, of course, I served as a chapter development consultant. So spreading my experiences and my influences abroad. And I've definitely, from a selfish aspect, I've taken a lot more from TriDelta than I feel like I've given. So it's been an awesome experience and I'm happy to be in a position to finally be able to give back to this organization.
Well, and we look to you for many, many years to trust me, you will teach TriDelta way more maybe than you'll pay her back. Don't you worry.
Thank you.
So we appreciate you being here today and who you are and the work that you're doing too. High school students, that's all.
Yes, right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So my name is Sabor Waldu. I'm a recent graduate 2019 of the University of Texas at Dallas. I was a part of the Epsilon Theta chapter. I served as social chair. And then I also served as the president of my chapter. overall, my Tri-Delta experience has been incredible. I think as a woman of color, like I have a certain responsibility to ensure that anything that I may not have been comfortable with doesn't fall upon the next generation of women, Black women, women of color that enter the sorority. So I think Lexi and I both are just trying to be a part of the conversation to ensure that we help, you know, in a way that doesn't only benefit us, but also the women that come after us.
Very good. And we know we are excited about you being a CDC. And although that experience might be a little different this year, we know that your influence is going to not only change Tri-Delta, but you're going to change lives as Lexi did. I know because of who you are as women and because of what you're teaching all of us. Trust me, these young women have taught me many things, and I will continue to look to you out of great deal of respect and to learn from you. So the two of you, we've listened to Dr. Peterson. There was an article in the Trident that a couple of months ago about her story, but hearing it from her voice and her words just really seemed to me to, it had a whole different perspective. And so I just wanted to hear your thoughts about her words and how that felt and for you.
I think for me, it was alarming. The idea of, you know, that was not that long ago. And that is the sorority that I love very much that has given me a lot, that really just kind of belittled her experience at first, you know. But then I also had a moment of reflection and I said, you know, 56 years ago, she was denied entry into the sorority. And 53 years after that, I received my initiation to Tri-Delta. And then I've been able to do things that she may not have been able to, whether they're serving as leadership, as president of my chapter, and then going on to be working for Tri-Delta. So it was kind of a circular moment of just, you know, seeing how far we've come, but at the same time, reflecting on, we've still got so much to go.
I think that after hearing her discussion, I felt really encouraged just about how many women at her chapter felt so strongly about the values to the organization, just our deep core values and how truly they held that and held it as a standard for themselves and chose to advocate for something that wasn't very popular at that time. For me, that gave me a lot of hope because I think that we're starting to see a resurgence of that type of personality and that type of person. And I would be absolutely enthralled if I see that coming from the very organization that I think I've gotten a lot from. So that was really awe-inspiring just to see her sisters to rally behind her and see how she reflects on that situation. Obviously a tough time, but she doesn't seem jaded or discouraged by what happened and still in touch with her sisters to this day. And so to me, it was really profound and encouraging.
What were some thoughts as she talked about the barriers to membership that she experienced? There were three key specific requirements that she had at that time, right? An AA had to vote, which we don't have that anymore. That is the membership in Tri-Delta is very clear that it is through the chapter. And so chapter vote is still the way that members come through, but the AA had to vote, the chapter voted, and she had to have a reference letter, which as she indicated, someone found. I love her statement when she's like, and they found someone to write a reference letter, but she shouldn't have even had to worry about that. Talk a little bit about where we are today in relationship to that conversation around barriers to membership.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that especially during my time as a consultant, I realized that there are a lot of practices in place just from NPC alone, not including Tri-Delta, that kind of make it difficult to gain membership should you not already have some type of a way in. And so 2 years ago when Tri-Delta decided to get rid of the reference requirement, I thought that that was a step in the right direction, but also something that I didn't really think was as prominent because I didn't know how seriously some chapters and their members depended upon them. It just wasn't as prominent in Millikan. But now looking back and seeing how things have changed over the past 2 years, I realized how integral that moment was for our membership and realizing that there are issues and were issues in our organization that we're still working to fix, but that we have the people in place that are willing to make that step to fix it. So I think we're doing what we can. And as new information is being presented, whether we have to change our minds or readjust, I feel like as an organization, we are trying to stay afloat and get ahead of the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, when you don't have the experience of those aspects, you know, those three things hindering you, you don't realize what kind of effect they can have. But I think it all goes back to, you know, Black women and women of color really not having the same starting line as other women, you know? So you're not starting from the same place. Clearly you won't end at the same place, right? So it's a longer challenge, a longer run, a marathon really for women of color. So taking away those then allows them to start at least start at the same place. What they do with that membership is upon them. But I think we have at least started the idea of we need our women to start off from the very same, you know, area. And then we also will breed them in our values to ensure that they can take on the world afterwards. So I think it's a great foundational start to hopefully something that's going to create something bigger.
So just so that our members are clear, are references required?
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure because I think that that's important that, you know, sometimes I love that you said practices because I think sometimes practices become reality and practices aren't always, you know, people say, oh, what about this? And I'm like, I have no idea where you found that, but, you know, but practices become reality sometimes. So, you know, I think one of the things that we're all learning is that practices sometimes become barriers that we don't even realize are there. And we are having those conversations. So what else would you think in that conversation with Dr. Peterson, what struck you about TriDelta's values? And you mentioned that, Lexi, about, you know, being brave, bold, and kind, which we'll talk a little bit about the Lead Now resolution. But when you think about brave, bold, and kind, there were both sides of that picture as it related to Dr. Peterson's experience. Can you talk a little bit about TriDelta's values and how that was practiced in a positive way, but also how maybe it wasn't and we can do better?
That's a great question. I'm just trying to organize my thoughts.
You're good. Take your time.
I think, you know, I love our brave, bold, and kind, right? But I think kindness has to be taken out of this equation because treating someone equal is not about kindness. It's about fairness and equality. Therefore, what this chapter and their alumni advisor did is they were brave and they were bold. The alumni advisor at that time, you have to think this was in the 1960s, segregation was still well and alive. So she took that chance. She said, you know what, this is a Black member, but she deserves a membership like everybody else. So she was brave and she was bold in what she did. And then the sisters stuck by her. And that's the true definition of sisterhood. And I think that's what we need to concentrate on because that was, when you're coming full force and it's not that woman of color and it's not that, you know, Black woman that's saying, I need an opportunity, but there's a crowd behind her that is not Black or people of color, and they're saying, yeah, she needs that opportunity. That puts the pressure on. That says we have to make a difference, you know? So I think as a whole, they were brave and, you know, they were bold and they created change in that way. They opened up the doors for Lexi and I to be, you know, members of TriDelta 50 something years later, you know? So I think it was a pretty extraordinary thing.
I think I definitely agree with a lot of what Sabor said as it pertains to how they handled the situation. I think that our values lay out very clearly that no matter what type of person you are, if you have good morals, you should be able to align with them. Truth, self-sacrifice, and friendship, it doesn't get any more raw than that. And I think that the chapter members themselves exemplified everything about those values from start to finish with how they handled that situation, even is going out as far as to find someone to serve as a reference for Dr. Peterson. I think that speaks volumes about those women and their character. I think on the side, and I think we all kind of understand where TriDelta let us down was just on the executive level and that what they tried to put in place to prevent Dr. Peterson from becoming a member and kind of almost punishing this chapter for doing something that was profound and something that was good. And you could only hope that things like that don't happen now, because I think now in retrospect, those people realize that what they were doing was not right and probably even in that moment, realistically. And I just hope that we learn from those mistakes and take a moment to realize, like, is this denying someone a basic right that could help them in the future? And if it is, then we need to really reassess how we operate as an organization.
Both of you have referenced that Dr. Peterson has opened the door for the two of you to be here today as Black women. When you think about your role today in opening those doors for other women and in teaching those of us who also need to open those doors for Black and Brown women and you know, women of color. What do we need to do better?
That's a loaded question, Mary.
I knew that you would say that. I hoped you would, because I just know the two of you, and you have a lot to say. And so let's hear it.
I mean, you know, I always say, you know, if America hasn't fixed the problem, then TriDelta can't fix the problem. But TriDelta has a different environment than the United States has. You're already, you know, you have a lot of things in common as women. For starters, you're all women, right? And second one is you're all college women. You're around the same age, you're away from home. Like these are experiences that are supposed to bond us, not separate us, you know? So I think we already have such a great foundation, and I feel like a lot of times our chapters are so progressive. But our elders, as in our alum advisors and our volunteers and our EO sometimes, are not with us. They're a little bit behind, understandably, because there's an age gap, and that's okay. But we have to close the gap between the progression of our chapters and the way we operate as an organization. And that means listening to our members, right? And that also means that empowering our chapters to say, hey, you want to take this, then you do what you need to do, because you know more than us, really. You're operating the chapters, you're talking to these women. And then EO is going to have to say, hey, we'll take the lead on this, in the sense of our chapters are educating us, and together we can make a difference. So I think it starts off like that. Like we have to work together, but there needs to be a sense of togetherness. And I really think our downfall is the fact that we're a group of women from so many different ages when you look at us as an organization, that some of them were born in 1950 and some of them, you know, our newest members might be born in 2000. And how can you bring those two people together, you know? So it's just meeting grounds and letting them know that, you know, we do see every single woman as she was created equal to the other. Therefore, they should all have the same opportunities.
That you pretty much just took every one of my thoughts and said it so eloquently. So I definitely 100% agree with you. I think whenever I've been asked that question, my mind kind of snowballs and spirals, because it's like I think about my chapter and then I'll think about the chapters that I visited. And then I think about executive office and suddenly I'm thinking about NPC and then the nation. And I'm like, wait a second, too many problems for one person. But it really is embedded in the nation and how our great United States came to be about, or so we say. And I think for me, from my point of view, what I think is the most prominent way that TriDelta can be better is making sure that we're educating our members so that these efforts are genuine. Because you can have your chapter members check off on a list that all their new members went through a diversity training, but how many people were actually receptive to that? And I think that's what takes it from being just like a movement to actually turning into a movement and inspiring the change that we're trying to see. And that is kind of where I've been discouraged in some places, and seeing some of the chapters that I love to visit as a consultant, but also seeing that they aren't really handling the situation as genuinely. It seemed like it was like a copy and paste. Let's make sure we post the black square. Okay, check it off the list. We're done. There's no growth that's happening there. And it's something that we all need to understand and rally together to really figure out how to move forward. You can't make someone feel something, and definitely can't make them believe something. But if we educate those members who may not have been privy to that information prior to them coming into TriDelta, I think we can actually give them the promise of growth and development that they were given when they first pledged their loyalty to the organization.
You all are so, I wish I were you when I was your age, to be honest, because those older people you're talking about, you know, I fall into one of those categories.
Love our alums.
Age for me, I learned from my 3-year-old great niece. So I am never afraid to learn. Age doesn't bother me. So, but Lexi, I love that comment about changes a moment into a movement. TriDelta, and I will say, we are hearing you from the executive board to EO, and these are conversations that are being had and heard. And I think that that's important. And one of those messages that we know are coming in this weekend, and you know, we're part of the lead experience this Friday, as we are here with our members, but also two resolutions that are coming this weekend as a part of the Lead Now resolution. Can you talk to us a little bit about your thoughts? You've reviewed that, and what are your thoughts about the way that TriDelta is moving forward and being more inclusive and really examining where racism may exist or does exist in the organization?
Absolutely. I think the first thing that I thought about when I read the resolution and saw the changes, especially for adding the two board positions, I think that this is something, again, the educator always talking about education, that we can use to share with our chapter members about the difference between being diverse and being inclusive. And something that I feel like I've kind of always known about, especially in my collegiate years, I really dove deep into what the difference between those two words were. So I understand it, but I realize that not a lot of people have that opportunity to understand what the difference is. But this is where it really matters, being able to have those voices, not only bringing them to the table, but putting them into the conversation and taking those viewpoints and those perspectives and putting them in a high position in the organization shows our women of color and our sisters that are not white, that we are valued and that our insight is valued on any level, and that change can definitely happen there. So I think, yeah, right now it has to be, of course, we have to do that with the intent to make that change. But in the future, I hope that it'll turn out to be something that's a little more just kind of like second nature. Those people are just included on the board regardless.
I agree. I mean, I think I would refer back to just what I said earlier about the playing field being even, you know, the starting line. And if we're saying that our first Black member came in the 1960s, TriDelta's been around a long time before that. Therefore, every other member before her that was white has served on our board. They've been a CDC. They've, you know, volunteered. They've done all these things. But we have yet to have Black women or women of color on our board and on our leadership. Therefore, you know, opening this position up for them specifically just says, hey, like, we want to level it once again, because we're not there on the leadership aspect. We might be there on our membership, but leadership, you know, we're nowhere to be found right now. So this is our way. This is not a free for all. It's just our way for evening that playing field to then say, from now on, you know, we need to ensure that at the table, we don't have the same kind of woman, because TriDelta is not for one kind of woman. TriDelta is for every kind of woman. So I think that's it. You know, we're just ensuring that, you know, Lexi and I, maybe one day we'll be part of the board. But right now we don't have that representation. Therefore, we need to start somewhere. So I think it's a great start. And I think that's what Dr. Peterson said. She said, it's a great start, because she knows better than anyone that we started in the 1960s with our first Black member, but really we're not really doing anything right now. I mean, we haven't done anything that's, you know, worth being proud of, honestly, until now, because now we're saying we're coming out swinging, because we can't let our members be discriminated against any longer. And that's the TriDelta that we're proud of. And that's the TriDelta we're trying to ensure that we leave to our daughters and granddaughters. That's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about the next generation that comes forward, and making sure that for them, they walk into a recruitment room or in a sorority house, and they're not looked at as the one Black girl, the one brown girl. They're just looked at as a fellow woman who's coming to join a sisterhood that's fair to her and every other woman there too.
I love that language, fair. I how simple is that to ask, right? I just want to be treated fairly. Mm-hmm. And I think that y'all have said, you've said that word a couple of times today. And to me, that's been the word that stuck out to me, to say, you know, that's really what you're asking for, and to be heard and to be for action. Cause that's the other thing that I've learned, is it's one thing to say something, but if you're not willing to put it into action, then it's just words. And I think this is a great example of TriDelta. We talk about the individual member growing and developing, but I think the organization is growing and developing as well. And that's the reason why. And I think you've said it before, it's taken too long, but I think that's why TriDelta is the organization that it is today, is that she's not afraid to take chances and do the right thing. And that's what I hope we see today. I don't know what TriDelta would be like without the two of you. And Dr. Peterson, and hearing her words, I don't know who we would be today without her. It's just sad that it has taken us too long, that long. And we need to make those changes today. And I know that the executive board, that staff and volunteers are up for the challenge. And I know that there is a commitment to this. And I want to say that on behalf of, you know, the team of folks that we work with. Any other thoughts that you want? I mean, this is your moment of being able to speak truth to all of us. Is there any other charge or challenge that you feel like you want us to hear from you? This is a moment in time, I believe, and it's a moment in history. Your voices will lead us into the next part of who TriDelta becomes. And I can't think of two more brilliant young women to help us do that.
You know, okay, so throughout this whole conversation, it's been about really the negative aspect of what we're trying to fix about our sisterhood. But I don't want to end in that note because I don't want to seem like I'm ungrateful for the experience that TriDelta has given me. TriDelta is an amazing organization that I have had the opportunity to really flourish in as a person and especially as a woman. And it's taught me things that I will carry on for the rest of my life. That being said, it's because we love TriDelta so much that we're having these conversations. When I heard Dr. Peterson's conversation, it was a mixed emotion of anger and hope at the same time. I was angry that she was treated like that, but I knew my experience wasn't like that. But then I thought about it and I said, you know what? But the time between her experience and mine was such a long time, yet we still have such a long way to go. So to any member listening to this, I want them to know that whether you're Black, white, Asian, whatever you are, TriDelta will welcome you for the woman that you are. You just have to ensure that you make it better for the woman that comes after you, as the women that have come before us did for us. So always remember that you're bigger than you think, and you can always change whatever it is that you feel is wrong, whether it's small or big. And I'm a big believer in that you should just start where you are, then you won't even know really the difference that you're making. So that's my message to anybody listening to this. Know that we didn't know we'd be in this position, and who knows where you're going to be 10 years from now. But just know that speaking up is enough, really. So speak up and do better, really. That's all we can do.
Beautifully said.
I love that. I like the charge moving forward as well. I think along those same lines, when I was a consultant, I always told myself, get comfortable with the uncomfortable. That was like my motto for the year. And it was really because I was afraid of flying on airplanes. But it's turned out to have a larger meaning, of course, after meeting chapter members and starting my first job in my career. And that's something that I would encourage members to do as well, especially those of you who don't feel as educated on this situation and feel like there's not really much change that can come from you. I think you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And I think that Kimberly and Dr. Peterson kind of touched on that a little bit. Making yourself a part of something that you may not have felt as familiar with is definitely a good way to start. So that could be as uncomfortable as having a conversation about these topics with people that you trust, or, you know, putting it on a spectrum and going all the way off to the right and saying that you want to be the only non-Black person in a room full of Black people. And I had a friend, a chapter member who I looked up to sincerely in my chapter, who used to do that and go to Black student union meetings and be the only white person there because she wanted to put herself in situations where she was uncomfortable. And I think that avoidance and just trying to disregard it and thinking that this is just going to go away because we close our eyes is definitely not the way to approach this. So realizing that impacts don't have to change the world to be important. Each individual member does have that power, like Sabor said, and you can use that to make a change. And it's really going to be the members and the general membership that make that biggest impact. EO and our board can send out as many mandates and resolutions as they want to, but if it's falling on dead ears, there's not really much change that we're going to see. A lot of that power comes with the members. So hopefully you all made it this far and take that information and move forward in a positive way.
And I think the other thing that you said too that was important is that our chapters have a lot of power and the power to make changes. And the only reason Dr. Peterson is a member of TriDelta today is because her chapter was willing to take the power that they have and to fight for her. And I think that that says a lot about our young women and what they and you have been capable of doing. So I hope that power to make changes continues to be something that our chapters realize that they have the ability to do. You two are truly remarkable women, and I cannot wait to sit and to watch how you guide us and lead us and continue to be truly beacons of light. And, you know, I love that you are vulnerable to tell us, those of us who don't always know, and those of us who are in my being a white woman, when we need to do better. I appreciate your courage to do that. And I know that Tri-Deltas who are watching this today, you, I hope, will sit and really think about what these two women have shared and what Dr. Peterson has shared. Because it is our role as allies, as advocates, as women, to be there and to open the door and to create environments that are fair. And I love that word, that women can walk into a space and feel loved and feel friendship and feel sisterhood. And I'll say this as a non-Tri-Delta, I have felt that from Tri-Deltas. And I feel very fortunate to have spent some time with the two of you today. So I hope that our members, that this resonates with you and that it, you know, we will sit in our uncomfortable space. And I think that that's okay. So thank you both very much for your courage and for being role models to your sisters, but also to those of us who have had an opportunity to watch you grow and will continue to do that. So thank you all very much.
Thank you to Marianne and especially to Sabor and Lexi, such shining examples of the power of our sisterhood. These kinds of conversations lead now, conversations about racism, are the conversations we have to continue. So look forward to more Lead Now conversations from Tri-Delta. We've created a space for members to share feedback and ideas they have as we all work collectively through the Lead Now action plan. Please feel free to email us at inclusion@trideltaeo.org. We hope all of our members and families remain safe as we continue to enjoy our summer of sisterhood. Stay tuned for more exciting events, programs, and celebrations coming your way. You can find out more on our website, tridelta.org. Please take a moment to like, subscribe, and rate our podcast. We love 5-star ratings in Tri-Delta. Thank you for talking Tri-Delta with us today. Join us next time. Stay safe and bring you.